When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I'm every trash EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good hearty Thursday morning. We know you wait for the Thursday open, but we're having some issues today, so you have this sultry voice to carry you through at the moment. 1-800-919-3776. The show, as you have completely fallen head over heels in love with, is DNR right here on 98.7 ESPN. So we got a lot to get into today. I mean, a spicy, spicy Wednesday across the world of sports. You have the Mets with not just a garden variety. We fall behind because that's what we do and we find our way back. No. Not yesterday. Yesterday is the Mets fall behind because that's what they do. And then they come back to take a 2-1 lead. And then they open things up later. Harrison Bader with an absolute missile to left, made it 6-1, and the Mets go on, dare I say, to a laugher of 9-1, and I believe they call that in the business a sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and a 10-8 record. So all of, and I'm there with you, so I'm not going to say that I'm not culpable of this as well. All of the conversation about how 0-5 and Stearns is not good and he doesn't know what he's doing and this team is awful. Maybe we were a little premature with that. So that's the Mets. Yankees, and I know that we're 12 and 6 and you're winning 2 out of 3 and nothing to be overly concerned about, but let's be fair. Had the Yankees not come back and put together that ninth inning and gotten swept in Toronto, I think it's a lot of, oh no, here we go again. We can't hit. Judge is not, he can't hit at all, right? It's Soto and it's nobody else at the moment. So I think there'd be a lot of that. That goes away. Big ninth inning from down 4-1, scoring 5 unanswered, and away we go. So the Yankees with a really, really good ninth inning and a really, really good fight. And Soto is, you know, if I have to hear one more person say Juan Soto is paid to hit the ball and not take ball four and walk, I'm going to run through a wall like Kool-Aid McKinstry. I'm going to absolutely, unequivocally lose my mind. That is preposterous. So we will get to the baseball, excited with the baseball. We have a little more information on where we are with the postseason of the two locals, and that being the Knicks and the Rangers. And now we know the Rangers will start Sunday, 3 o'clock, 2:30 pre, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN. So we know their opponent is Washington, and we know 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, which is beautiful. So it's not the noon game where, like, all right, you got to rush around in the morning, and if you want to get to the game, you got to get out of your house at a somewhat early hour. And it's not a night game where it kind of eats into your Sunday night. It's beautiful. It's right there, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. Gorgeous. So we got that. And now, and this is kind of where I want to lead, and I want to get into calls on this as well at 1-800-919-3776. And this, I'll be fair with you, and I'll be honest with you because I always am. This could be an awful take. You might look back at this take in a week or a week and a half and say, I can't believe you thought this. But I do, and I feel it wholeheartedly, and I'll tell you exactly what that is. Firstly, the Knicks now have their opponent, and their opponent will be Philadelphia. And I mean, I watched that game almost as like a scout yesterday. Right? I don't know if you felt the same way. I watched it almost as a scout. With Jimmy Butler's hurt. Well, if Jimmy Butler's hurt, now all of a sudden, what does that mean? Right? If Jimmy Butler's going to be out, and at the beginning it looked terrible, and even so, my understanding is he went for imaging on the knee after the game, and he wasn't in the game down in the final seconds of it. I thought Miami really gave that game away. I mean, Batum played well, and they left Embiid open for a couple of wide-open threes, which he knocked down. But here's my take, and here's what you might freak out on. And this is what I want to open the show with and kind of get your guys' take as well at 800-919-3776. And I think Ray feels the same way, but I think a lot of Knicks fans feel the complete opposite way. And to me, that is, I am scared of Philly none. I'll repeat that. I am scared of Philly none. I watched that game last night. You could tell me till you're blue in the face, but Joel Embiid is not healthy. He's not. He's sitting there. He's slumped over. His low post game was non-existent. He's 2-10 in the first half. Now, is he still terrific? Yes. Like, he hits his threes, and he batted a ball to himself late in the game and got the rebound and put it up and put it in and got fouled. I'm not saying he's not a good player. This is not the MVP version of Joel Embiid. So to sit here and tell you that I'm terrified of Philadelphia, it's just not true. I thought that they went through the motions yesterday, and I thought that Miami, for the most part, was in fact a better team, which is no shame. But I was not impressed. Were you impressed with Philadelphia last night? I wasn't. I'm not scared of them. The Knicks beat them up in the regular season. I for the life of me, I do not think that Embiid is healthy at all. I don't. And Maxey's good, but you know what? I have a guy by the name of OG Anunoby who, in my mind, at a minimum, is going to slow down Tyrese Maxey. Am I terrified of Batum? No. I mean, he played well last night, but I mean, I'm not terrified of him. Are you terrified of Nicholas Batum or Kelly Oubre? I'm not. Or Kyle Lowry, who's like 1,000 years old. I mean, what we cease to forget is this Knicks team is better than last year's Knicks team. They're better. I mean, you look at the additions that they have. Hartenstein is not even the same player. DiVincenzo is new, right? I mean, McBride is a completely different version of himself. And in fairness, as good as Brunson was, I think he's better than he was last year. Anunoby is a huge upgrade, right? I mean, with what he provides and the defense and the physicality and the, you know, running the court, hitting the corner threes, I think this Knicks team is considerably better, and I don't think Philly's all that great. I don't. So I might – this could be the biggest crow eating we've ever seen. But I look at that series, and I'll tell you, if the Knicks don't win this series, this is not going to be to me, oh, they lost to a really, really good team in Philadelphia. It's just not. It's going to be, how can you lose this series to a team that you're better than? You have home court over. And again, I watched Philly yesterday. They were getting run out of the building. You know, if Batum doesn't hit a shot or two, they probably lose that game by, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 points. Now we're talking about the Knicks going up against Miami. And in watching that game, that would scare me more. Because Miami always makes you play their game. They slow you down. They don't give you easy points. They grind it out. Tyler Hero can always get hot. Now, I imagine if he gets hot, you put Anunoby on him. But again, I'm just not worried about Philadelphia. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not aware. I'm not saying that I don't know what's going on. But overall, I'm not worried. And I'm sure that there are Knicks fans listening to this that are saying, how could you not be worried? I mean, Embiid is an MVP. See, I don't think this is Joel Embiid. I really don't. I think this is a shell of what we have become accustomed to when it comes to Joel Embiid. So maybe I'm wrong, but I think the Knicks are going to win this series, And I will go as far as saying I would be surprised if you saw it go seven games. Now, let's take a listen to a little bit of what Philadelphia had to say after their win last night. By the way, Philly moves on. They're the seven. They play the Knicks. We know that. Chicago won in a game that I guess there's really no way around this, but I wish they didn't have these games start so late. I mean, the Chicago game started at 9:30. I couldn't watch the end of that game, so I watched the first half, and then I caught up on what I missed this morning. But Chicago really outscores Atlanta in what had very little defense in it. And Atlanta will now play Chicago will now play Miami, and the winner of that game, which is in Miami, the winner of that game will go on to play the Boston Celtics. So we know a lot. We'll find out everything on Friday, and then everything will get started on Saturday. We know the Knicks are 6 o'clock on Saturday. So that's where we are. Let's take a little bit of a listen to what Philadelphia had to say. Here's their head coach, who, again, is a good coach. I don't think he outcoaches Tom Thibodeau. I don't think they're a better team. I don't think Embiid is healthy. And I'll say it again, and I want your reaction. 1-800-919-3776. I'm not worried about Philadelphia. Nick Nurse on going up against the New York Knicks.
I think they're for real. I think they're really good. I think they're fast. I think they can shoot. I think they hit the glass. I think they guard you. I think they've earned that seed. They've played really well and beaten a lot of good teams. So we'll have our work to do here in the next couple of days to get ready for them.
Which is what you would expect him to say, right? What's he going to say? But the Knicks won 50 games. They had the second most wins in the Eastern Conference. They're the two seed. It'd be weird if he said anything. And he's a coach anyway. He's not going to give you fodder and bulletin board ammunition, right? What's he going to come out and say? The Knicks are slow. They don't do this. They don't do that. So, yeah, that's typical coach speak. But whatever. I think the Knicks are all those things that he said. Tyrese Maxey, Brunson is kind of the straw that stirs this Knicks team.
They start with at the head of the snake at Jalen Brunson. Got to find ways to slow him down, but thankfully we got people that we can kind of throw at him. Got Joel down there protecting us. They're an extremely grimy team. Like they play hard, they're physical, they're tough, and that's their identity. For us to go in there and try to get W's and try to win this series, we have to match that, and not just match it, but we have to overcome that and be better than that and be extremely physical as well. So I think we know what we have to do. They kicked our tail in the regular season, so it's time to go in there and fight.
All right, so go out there and fight. But I'll tell you, watching that game yesterday, last night, my thought was, Philly's got nothing. Like, Philly, it felt like was on the verge of tapping out. And if Batum doesn't come and hit the... You know what actually was like the turning point of the game? Who was it? I think it was Caleb Martin. Went to the line for two. Missed the first. And then, I don't remember who was calling the game. I apologize. Starts saying, you know, if he misses this shot, you can feel like this groundswell around the arena. If he misses this shot, it's free chicken or tacos or something for everybody. He misses it. Crowd goes wild. They come down, hit a three, and then they come down and get a goaltend, and all of a sudden they're down six, and they got themselves back into the game. But I thought that there was very little fight, and I thought the kind of grinded out nature from Miami gave Philadelphia a ton of. Now this is what they do, right? I mean, that's a terrific team in Miami, and they grind it out and they make it ultimately very difficult. But again, to go back to my original point, this Knicks team is special, and this Knicks team has a lot of ways they can beat you. And I get it that Embiid is awesome, but I'll say it again, and they said it on the broadcast last night: he's not healthy. This is not MVP caliber Joel Embiid. This is a, and I don't want to say shell of himself, but I don't think it's far off from that. I mean, you can't leave him wide open. You got to make him make plays. Make him, force him to be athletic. And I give you, force him to be athletic. Then if you're the Knicks and don't just leave him open for threes, I really like your chances. I really do. And I think the Knicks will win this series, and I feel pretty confident right now in saying that. So 1-800-919-3776. We'll hear a little bit more from the Sixers. And I got to tell you, that Jimmy Butler injury, see, the second that happened, and my thought, well, I know you had the same thought, I thought, if he's legitimately hurt, and maybe this is an awful thing to say, but I don't think so. If he's legitimately hurt and going to be hobbled, let's go Miami. Right, that's my thought. Because if they have a less than healthy Jimmy Butler, now I know they have Hero, and I know that what they're capable of, and I know that they force you to kind of play their game. But if they don't have a healthy Jimmy Butler, I know you'll say last year he wasn't healthy either. But last year, the Knicks were not this good. So that was my thought when he went down with the knee, and he still needs to undergo more testing on the knee, and I imagine he'll be okay. Like, I can't, maybe I'm wrong, I can't imagine that it's any kind of like severe damage and he was able to finish out the game. But again, it's a moot point anyhow, because they're out as far as being in the Knicks half of the draw now. So it's Knicks and Sixers. It starts Saturday at 6 o'clock, and let's go. Let's go. You know what? Would I be nervous about playing Boston? Yeah. Would I be anxious about playing Milwaukee? Now, it looks like Giannis might not play the entire first series. So if he doesn't play, it changes the entire dynamic in Milwaukee. I am not nervous. And maybe you disagree, and that's fine. We'll start the show with this conversation and with calls on this 1-800-919-3776. I'm not nervous about Philadelphia. I'm just not. I don't think they're a great team. I do not believe that Embiid is remotely healthy, and let's go. Now, from brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive with all the parts you need. At the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that big win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. It doesn't happen every year, but the Knicks and the Rangers, and the Islanders are in too, are a monster story, and I'm hopeful it's going to be a hell of a run. Knicks, Sixers, let's break it down next. 98.7 ESPN. All right, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the king of all sports books. All season long, they're offering top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlay, special boosts, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are so many more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Whether you want to combine multiple bets for the chance at a bigger payout, or place a live bet as the game unfolds, BetMGM has all the home run betting options you could possibly need. Download the BetMGM app, head to the ballpark, get your piece of the MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. See BetMGM.com for terms. Must be 21 plus years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to say hello to someone that I spend usually 4 hours with every morning, the great Rick DiPietro. Hello, Rick.
Hello, David.
Now, you know I care for you greatly, right?
Yeah, I know that.
And you know, really, the last thing I would want to do is embarrass you, right?
Debatable.
But I think real life stands in the way of me not wanting to embarrass you and says, like, if real life knocked on my door right now, it would say, Dave, you have to tell everyone what happened. But I won't do that. I'm going to let you tell everyone what happened to you this morning.
Well, here's the thing. Okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I should receive some credit for this.
Uh-huh.
Because when I reveal what happened, people will understand why I had the opportunity to lie. Could have said, forgot my wallet.
Right.
Maybe had the Thursday open, left it at home, couldn't get, didn't want to go to the city without, because everyone needs
right.
the Thursday.
I mean, who travels on a Thursday without the open?
Right. You can't come into the office without the open.
Now,
but I didn't. For
the record, you've gotten on me because I have a man that comes to my home, hopefully weekly, and trains me, and also that I go to the barber once a week to get a cleanup, right? That's you raking me over the coals, some might say, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to sit back. Hang on. Let me put my feet up. Go ahead. Keep going.
Could have said I got a flat tire.
Could have.
Could have said I got pulled over.
Could have said that as well.
But I didn't, because once I step through those doors, I'm in the den of honesty.
That's right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the den of honesty.
And I opened my stupid mouth and told the truth. And was not the best thing for me to do, I don't think, because I'm probably going to get crushed for it by you. Well, I know I'm going to get crushed for it by you and RJ and Raymond.
Well, I think
and the people
to.
That listen.
I think everyone will have to crush you, but go ahead, continue.
That's right. So, took the garbage out like I normally do, mm-hmm. driving down the road, and to my chagrin, the gate wouldn't open.
The gate wouldn't open. Now, RJ, did you hear what he said? I'm driving down the road.
To be fair, it is kind of a road.
I'm driving down. I mean, what is happening? All right, so the gate wouldn't open. So you go up to your fancy gate, and you're pressing the remote to open it, and the gate won't open.
Gate will not open, no.
Okay, and now what happens?
And now what happens is I panic because now I have nothing. Like, what am I supposed to do? This thing is supposed to open as I pull up to it, not opening. I have nothing. So this is when sheer panic kicks in.
Okay.
And this is when now I have to get the boss in charge. The boss involved.
Now you have to wake up Cass.
Right. Which is on the list of things I don't want to do.
Right.
At this time of the morning, it's wake up my wife.
So we're 4 o'clock in the morning. You
yep.
drive down the road. You drive
right.
up to the gate. The gate typically is censored by movement, will open. In this instance, doesn't open. You
correct.
Put the car in park. You turn it off. You run into the house, and you wake up your wife, who's fast asleep.
Fast asleep.
All right.
Yeah, panic now because she's like, why would he be back at 4 a.m. waking me up? To make a long story that I wish I didn't tell, a little bit shorter, she says, you know, hey, dum-dum. I said, yep. Had you been paying attention? Because I kind of, not my finer moments where I've actually, you know, taken some of the things that you do and incorporated them into my own life where it's mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, honey, we should learn, you know, you should sit with this guy and learn how to do things. I'm like, you know what, you can, you know, you learn that stuff, you can handle that stuff. Wasn't around for the whole, like, in case gate doesn't open, you know, sit down meeting that I guess they had. So now she has to get dressed, mm-hmm. get in her car, drive with me down to the gate.
RJ, forget about the gate not opening. They can't walk to the gate?
I don't say this to just go along with the story. It's really not walkable. It would be a tremendous waste of time to walk that.
Right, it's exercise. Like, she doesn't need exercise at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I can't believe what's
so
happening.
So confirm this is actually a compound.
Oh, my God.
It's not a compound.
Of course it is.
It's like a little village.
Oh. See, I should have lied.
Is there a bodega anywhere on the premises that you can stop and get something on your way to the front gate?
There's actually a bathroom halfway.
Is there a Taco Bell?
There's a rest stop. There's a pull off if you need some gas.
I mean, my
gas.
God, we hop in the car, we drive to the gate. Please continue.
No, it wasn't we. I was in my car. She had to get in her own car.
Okay.
So we get up there. She's obviously not happy with me. And there's a way that she can open the one gate to let me out. So finally, she did whatever she did. I have no idea what she did, but luckily the gate opened up, and then I was finally set free on my way.
I gotta be honest with you. You being half an hour late is so worth it. I mean, it's heavy lifting for me. You know, like, if it's like Dave won't be here for half an hour, you go into panic mode. So it is heavy lifting for me, but so worth it. I mean, the fact that you're driving separate cars from the house to the gate to get off the property, the only thing I could say is thank you.
Great. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Glad I could be of service this morning.
Oh, you can go back home and fiddle with the gate for all I care.
No,
you,
I don't even want to see that gate. Me and that gate I have big problems with that gate.
So this is like, you know, they have deflate gate and everything. So this is gate.
This is gate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like on the list of things to go wrong today, I didn't have on the top
the
of the list.
Card?
Like, gate
the,
won't
the
open.
Gate won't. I mean, RJ, you talk about champagne problems, huh?
So the problem I always thought, I mean, yeah. I've only been there one time to the village.
Right.
And
did you stop at the coffee house?
I did not.
Uh-huh.
But this is not a gate, like, to put this into context. This isn't like a railroad crossing or something like that. This is a full moving operational piece of steel.
Right.
Like, if it doesn't open, you ain't getting through.
Now, the guy in the gatehouse couldn't help you, Rick?
No, we don't have a guy in the gatehouse.
Oh, maybe they need one.
I would like one.
Why don't you employ a man in a gatehouse? Maybe he doubles as the barista in the coffee house as well.
See, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now you're talking because you got to go. I mean, there's no real coffee stop there on the
way.
That
would be nice. Arch, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Continue.
So the only thought process behind how we got here, I mean, what if Cass just didn't want to help you or didn't wake up? Like, you'd just be stuck at that gate forever.
Well, what do you mean Cass wouldn't wake up? What is she?
Well, she'll wake up.
Why would she not wake up?
Because it's 2, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning.
If someone walks in and you know, joggles them around and says, wake up, well, you can wake a human being.
No, but my point would be this is why you both need to be more independent. You would never get out of there. You'd be trapped forever.
Don't blame me. I don't have a gatehouse.
You don't have a gatehouse, but you fall into this bucket as well. Listen, we're all together now, and that's all that matters.
That is all that matters. Now, you didn't do the Thursday Open. So can I get the West Coast Open 9 o'clock?
I'll give you two opens if you want. I mean, what? I can do it at whenever.
I'd like it at 9.
All right, open's done. Open's ready.
Great. So 9 o'clock, the Thursday Open. Now, as I was doing heavy lifting, like 350 right over the head, bench press all by myself.
No chance, yeah.
What did you think about what I said? About the I am zero... I'm not going to say I'm not aware.
I wouldn't say zero.
Well, I am not scared of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word scared. I mean, is it going to be a tough matchup? It's going to be a tough matchup. I'm with you, though. I don't think Joel Embiid is healthy.
He's not. He is. There's nothing about watching him last night that leads me to believe he's healthy.
No, but, I mean, since he's back, they've won 9 straight games, and with him, when he was healthy, they were 31-8.
I get it.
So, I mean, he's still a problem. I mean, but him at MVP form, that's not what he's at right now.
That's not
him. So you're asking, I guess the question would be, Joel Embiid at his current physical state, is he the best player in the series or is Jalen Brunson the best player in the series?
In his current state, like I thought he, which is pretty amazing that I just thought he was way subpar last night and he's still, right? His numbers were still pretty good. What do you go for 23 and 15 and 5 assists and made that great pass to Oubre for the N1 when it was tied late. But that version of Joel Embiid, I would say that that Jalen Brunson is the better player right now.
Okay. So as far as you're concerned, and I think after watching Joel Embiid and the way Jalen Brunson has played down the stretch, we'll say we have the best player in the series. Nick Batum went nuts yesterday. Nick Batum was awesome in that game.
He was awesome, and I think he had 6 threes, but do you expect that to happen?
No, I don't, but that's, I guess, as I look at the series, one of my fears going into the series is I know exactly what I'm going to get from Jalen Brunson, right? We've seen it throughout the entire regular season. We saw it last year in the postseason. Even in Dallas, we saw what he was capable of doing in the postseason. He is one of those players that's able to raise his level when he gets into the second season. We also have seen guys that don't have the ability to do that. Julius Randle hasn't had the ability to do that. Last year we saw Emmanuel Quickley not have the ability to do that. So you tell me. Yeah, I'm confident because I've seen this team, especially with OG back, play really well and win. Like the numbers with him in the lineup don't lie. But I also don't know what to expect from some of the other pieces on this team that are going to need to, you know, step up and play well if we're going to make a run. Like, I don't know what to expect from Dante DiVincenzo.
Well, I'm of the mindset that he's going to be really good. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm of the... I mean, listen, he fears nothing. He's a terrific shooter. I'm of the mindset that he's going to be fine.
Yeah, but we've never seen him play at this level before. Like, did you think that IQ was going to struggle the way IQ struggled in the postseason last year?
No.
No, I didn't either. You don't know sometimes. What makes you feel good is that your best player... you know will show up.
Well, he showed up in a big way last year with less around him.
Right. Like, I mean, it's almost the opposite when I talk about the Rangers. Like, what are some of the things you feel like could potentially stand in the way of the Rangers making a long run? Is that you haven't really seen the regular season version of Panarin in the postseason. I don't have that concern with Brunson. I know Brunson's going to play really well.
It's because you saw it last postseason. He was phenomenal.
Right. So it's the pieces around him. Now you add into the mix that Joel Embiid is not nearly 100%. Yeah, and you got home court.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard this. It's a pick'em series.
I did hear that, yeah.
On ESPN Bet, it's a pick'em series. So I guess until they go prove something in these games, not even like leading up to them. They win 50 games. They beat up Philly. Embiid's not healthy. And Vegas is still like, well, you know what? We look at this as a pick'em series. Like, the Knicks just will not get any credit and or respect from pretty much anybody.
Well, I think it's the same reason why it took Jalen Brunson so long to be talked about as an MVP. Right? Like, we were talking about it months ago. Because we watch this team every day and we realize how valuable he is to this team. No Julius Randle, no OG, still finding way. And finally, eventually, everyone caught on. It's like, and this is, it's not just Vegas, man. I mean, you see a lot of these, Charles Barkley, Shaq, all these, you know, Sixers will beat, you know, Sixers feel like they can beat the Knicks. Until you prove it, they don't believe it. So, Knicks are going to have to go out and prove it.
Well, so, Knicks beat them up in the regular season, right?
Yeah, but see, that doesn't, for people, that doesn't matter. Because those same people that think that the Sixers will win this series, look at the Knicks as, hey, they just play harder than everyone else in the regular season. They don't have another level. They don't have another gear once they get to the postseason.
It's
our team
amazing
will turn it on.
To me that playing hard in the regular season is now a negative.
Well, I don't know if it's a negative.
Well, it takes away from what people think you're going to be able to do in the postseason because they don't trust you.
Well, I don't even know if it's that they don't trust you. It's recognizing, it's those people recognizing that the teams, that a lot of the other teams in the NBA don't take the regular season nearly as...
And by the way, you agree with me, the Knicks are a better team this year than last year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did they win a round by just dominating Cleveland?
They did.
Okay. Did they lose to a team that then beat the Boston Celtics?
That's right.
So it's not like they went out and lost in five to Cleveland last year, that there's no track record at all to think this can be a pretty good postseason team.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that. I think.
Well, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, like, this mass belief around the country that the Knicks are, they're just, oh, they play hard and Brunson's good and that's why they got the 2 seed and 50 wins. I think it's a stupid take.
I think it's, listen, I think it's probably a lazy take.
I think so.
I think if Julius Randle's healthy, people maybe have a different opinion. Maybe the Vegas, you know, the number in Vegas is a little bit different. Just having a chance to see what Joel Embiid looks like and that he's not healthy. But I think if you asked a lot of people, you know, around the NBA, it's Embiid, it's Brunson, and then who? Well, I think most people would say Tyrese Maxey, right?
Yeah, I have a feeling that OG is going to do a number on Tyrese Maxey.
Right, and I'm with you. But you're also talking about, I mean, there's a reason why Kendrick Perkins said he doesn't believe that those guys watch the Knicks a lot. Like, unless you're watching the Knicks and you're paying attention to exactly what OG brings to the table, and you realize that they rarely ever lose when he's in the lineup, I mean, it's easy to just say, oh, yeah, Tyrese Maxey's the better player. He averages more points.
Right.
It's
well,
easy
listen,
to do that.
I think when you look at it like that, you probably would say Tyrese Maxey's the better player. But I think the Knicks are better as a total parts than Philadelphia is, if that makes sense. Like, you can't equate for what Josh Hart brings to the table. Hartenstein is a really, really good player, and he's going to be a problem. Right, and Mitchell Robinson, if you get something out of him and he can, you know, play physical and defend a little bit on Embiid. I mean, I don't think Nicholas Batum is going to go out there and make 6 threes every game.
No, he's not. But I also have questions as to whether, you know, guys on our team that have had good regular seasons are going to be consistent.
Okay. Well, Vegas is saying flip a coin and that's what it's going to be. Like, this is a 50-50 series.
No, I'm not saying that they can't do it or I don't think the Knicks are going to win the series. I think the Knicks will win the series. I'm just trying to give you reasons as to why that number is what it is, or there's other people that say that they feel like the Sixers are going to, after watching that game last night, where Joel Embiid is at physically, why it's so easy for people to say Sixers will win the series.
I don't understand. I know what you're saying. I'm not arguing with you. I don't understand how you could watch him slouched over, clearly not healthy, had a bad first half, had no game offensively down low, how you could look at that and say, that's a healthy Joel Embiid, and the Knicks are going to lose to that team. I don't see it.
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly there's, you know, there's people out there that think, including Vegas, that this is going to be a hard-fought series and that there's a real chance the Sixers win.
All right. Well, we agree to disagree. And if I'm wrong, I'll eat crow, but I'm not convinced of that.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I don't know if this is frowned upon or not, and you're more of the fashionista on the show than I am, so I'm going to ask you. Raymond, and I thought it was okay, but you might say, no, you can't do that. Or maybe you disagree and you think it's fine. Wore a hoodie with a sport jacket to the Knicks or Rangers game at the Garden the other day.
Ooh. I feel like I see it a lot.
Kind of the Dan Orlovsky look.
Orlovsky does rock that quite a bit.
That's his thing.
We also have other people that just go with the hoodie and some kind of jacket.
Right.
We've seen
It's a popular fashion statement.
Yep. I think it's all right.
You think it's okay?
Yeah, I think it's all right. I prefer him, really suited and booted. I think that's when he looks at his, best.
For a day game, like a little less stuffy, you can get away with the hoodie and the sport jacket.
I think he dressed down a little bit,
like a matinee.
I like that. And plus, he's handsome though. So I mean, are we really paying attention?
It doesn't really matter.
No, we're looking at that face. That's what we all want. That's. It's that face that allows him the opportunity to take two smoke shows back to his.
That's right.
His apartment.
That's right. Melinda and Rachel.
Oh yeah.
That's right. Ray, how much thought do you give into your outfit for the games?
I'm not going to say that I labor over it, but I do. I do not want to look like a slob in the building. That's important to me.
That's important to you.
Yeah, I'm not just going to show up. I'm not going to just put on a sweater and. A basic hoodie by itself. I do want to at least have the sport coat going. That's okay, right? Not frowned upon.
No, I think it gives off the, business, but I'm also a little casual
today. I'm casual, and I'm here to have fun.
Right. Like, I don't necessarily need a commitment. If both of you want to come back, if they have blonde and a brunette, we'll have some fun.
All right, and I'll show you what I'm about.
It's also not happening.
I have a waiting room. I call it the half bedroom. You go
That's right.
Relax.
That's right.
I'll get to you in a minute.
Of the crew, because it's a whole crew, a slew of people that make this broadcast happen, do you look at yourself as the best dressed of the six of you?
You're asking me?
Well, I'm not asking Rick.
No. When Rick dresses up, he's...
This was bad. It was a poorly asked question, Raymond. What he means is the people that you do the broadcast with.
Which is
are
what
you the best
I said.
Dressed? No, it was tough. I didn't really get it early either.
Yeah, I thought you were asking about us here. No, of course not. Usually the folks that are doing play-by-play look a little better than me.
So Pat O'Keefe is dressed to the nines.
Yes.
You know what you should do? Here's what you do. Make a real statement. Saturday, wear a tuxedo.
Why would I do such a thing?
You know what? Now it's playoff time. You know what? Hoodie gone, tuxedo in.
Yeah, but then I'm making it about me.
You look like a psychopath.
It's not about me.
It's, no, right. And nothing changes for the postseason.
With the straight tie, not a bow tie. The straight tie.
I will say this. I'm probably not going to do the hoodie thing for any of the playoff games. Probably not. You know, it's the playoffs. We got to take it serious. But
and you don't look at as the hoodie under the sport jacket as serious.
Not as serious as it can be.
You
so
know
it's got to be dress shirts every time.
A tuxedo serious.
No.
That means I'm not here to get down.
You could not be less serious than wearing a tuxedo.
What do you mean?
No, ridiculous.
I want to get escorted out of this building.
Why would you get escorted out of the building?
Because he can't go from what he normally wears to all of a sudden showing up in a freaking tuxedo.
I'm not here to be part of a sideshow.
Suspenders. Not a cummerbund. Suspenders.
What is that, velvet?
We're not doing this.
I for one, think you'd look great.
It's not about how I'd look. I'm not the show. I'm there to do a job.
Do you know how many people? That are listening to the broadcast solely because of your producing.
Yeah, but even if he was the show, he's not crazy. He's not gonna show up in a tuxedo.
I think it'd be great
with the shiny shoes and everything else. No, they kick him right out.
What would be their reasoning for kicking him
because
out?
Because Mr. Dolan has the facial recognition stuff. They see Raymond strolling in a tuxedo, like something's happening.
No, nothing's happening.
Yeah, he's clearly gone crazy.
You can wear a tuxedo.
He's clearly gone crazy.
I think now they look at him with high respect. Don't mess with him. You don't know what you're going to get.
I think they'd look at me with less respect, much less respect.
Yeah, don't mess with him because he's crazy.
Forget it. Just wear jeans and a t-shirt.
This guy.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be
whatever
one
you want, whatever.
Or the other.
You know what? Do closet roulette. Go close your eyes, walk into the closet, whatever you do. Dress like the pimp at Citi Field.
No, that would be something. Especially with your track record now.
By the way, of course the team you root for now has a pimp as the mascot.
The team he roots for?
Yeah.
But why is it the team you root for? You root for the same team.
You don't root for the same team.
I know, but it makes more sense that you would root for a team that had a man dressed as a pimp.
Please clarify, because I'm sure some people out there think you're talking about Mr. Met.
No, not Mr. Met.
I know the guy. I know who you're talking about.
There's a random fan who goes to the games dressed I think he's considered now the Mets pimp. That's what they call him.
The Mets pimp.
Rick, am I wrong? This is what he's considered now.
You're not wrong. It's just funny to hear you say it out loud. The Mets pimp.
You know what? He's bringing great success to this team.
They just keep winning.
All they do is win.
That's it.
You know what I like on this club?
Who do you like on this club? Let me think about it for a second.
I like that he's not one of the stars, but I like this guy.
Tyrone Taylor.
No, but you're not far off.
I'm not far off. One of the guys on this team, is it a new Met?
Now, how many new Mets are there? Like, does that make it easy for you?
I don't know if it makes it easy for me.
Yeah, I don't want to tell you that. He's not one of the guys, but I like his game.
I've liked his
game.
Are we talking about Harrison Bader?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I like his game.
I know big you like his game.
Big fan of. You know what? He gives you everything he has. He's a great defensive center fielder, which matters. He runs the bases, and he's a clutch guy.
Yeah, big home run last night.
I was great for the Yankees in the postseason a couple years ago.
He was, and people lost their minds. How could you trade Jordan Montgomery? Because the follow-up to the postseason wasn't great. That next season wasn't great, but he's off to a good start with us.
Off to a terrific start. And yesterday was one of the few times that the Mets made it nice and tidy and easy and just rolled over Pittsburgh, sweeping them.
Yeah, which was, I mean, Severino pitched well. Bullpen, I mean, you can't say enough good things about the bullpen.
Unbelievable.
Again.
Bullpen is just rolling along.
Right. Marte, we've talked about that a bunch of times. He's healthy now. He clearly was not healthy last season. Bader, Tyrone Taylor had a big game for us too. Kind of sucks that Beatty's dealing with a little bit of an injury here because he got off to such a good start. But
right. Sounds like it's not overly serious, though.
Yeah, right. So sitting here 10-8, I'm sure, and Steve Cohen kind of mentioned, I'm sure that flight to L.A. was much better that they won and won in convincing fashion, but team's playing well.
They're playing great baseball. They really are. And you know what the exciting thing is Lindor's done nothing. Nimmo's done nothing. McNeil's done very little. So you have three of the guys that you look at and you say they need to be good for us to be good, and you're still sitting here at 10-8. Rick, they were 0-5.
Oh, I know.
They were 0-5.
Yeah, 0-5, and it looked bad. It looked really bad.
And here's the question for you. Is there a starter that you don't feel comfortable with? And I mean out of the rotation. Like Severino, pretty good. Manaea, pretty good. You may not have an ace right now with Senga not here, but, I mean, Quintana's, I think, very good. Hauser's good enough. I think every day they throw out a starter that you think to yourself is a pretty good starter.
Yeah, and I think when you couple that with how good the bullpen's been.
Bullpen's been sensational.
That's the other thing, is how good the bullpen has been. And the pitching's been, I mean, even in the spring, pitching surprised a lot of people how good it was. And would it hold up? And will it hold up?
And we don't have the answer to that.
Right, but you're going to get Cody saying, you'll get Kodai back.
Right, into May.
Which will help the rotation. And then at some point, who knows when, you'll get J.D. Martinez to throw into this lineup.
Right. So, and I'll be honest, when they were 0-5, like, I thought they were on the verge of being completely done. Like, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I was panicked. I thought that this season was going to be, they'll never see 500 again, and they're going to go through the doldrums of a rebuilding 162 games, and maybe we have to start to give Stearns a little more credit than we did and say that this guy, you know, he's good, he's solid, he knows what he's doing.
All right, I think you got to go back to what happened in Atlanta and how important that series
was. That
was
big.
I mean, the way they came back in that first game.
And they never beat Atlanta.
No. No, I think you could point to, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that point to what happened in Atlanta a couple years ago as the beginning of the end, right? I mean, you had your pitching rotation set up exactly how you needed it. You win one game and you win the division. You don't lose the division and then get handled by San Diego, and then you follow up the 101 wins with what we saw last year.
Right, and then like, you know, the Diaz injury and Marte was never healthy and all these different things, but I think you're right. I think that was like the death knell to the 2022 Mets, was that series in Atlanta.
Right. So now, to get off to the start that you did, and it looked awful. I mean, we were joking about it yesterday. Gary, I mean, between having to sit through a rain delay and then, you know, on the air talking about this is rock bottom. There's no one here. We're getting no hit. And we're 0-5. This is not a great way to start your season. And then, you know, staring a series in Atlanta, whereas you've had, I mean, at one point, it was after one of the wins. Yeah, it was after their loss. So they win the first game, they come back. They're down 4-0, then we had a couple game-tying home runs. That second game, they fought back. Give them tons of credit. They fought back. You had Pete up as the go-ahead run in the ninth inning. But at that point, the Braves had won 17 of the last 22 versus the Mets. They had owned the Mets, especially in Atlanta. So to battle all the way back in that first one, battle back and give yourself a chance in the second one, and then smash them 16-4. And win that series, that's...
It said a lot.
Well, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Against a team that you never beat. I mean, you just mentioned 17 out of 22. The Braves have owned the Mets. And it's been a house of horrors down there in Atlanta. And to have won 2 out of 3. And again, look at the teams they've beaten. I mean, Cincinnati, 2 out of 3. Pittsburgh, sweep them. And you can say what you want. These right now are good baseball teams. Kansas City had won, what, 7 in a row? They come into the Mets. The Mets win 2 out of 3. Atlanta, 2 out of 3. So after this just unbelievable start, they're 10-3 in their last 13 games.
That's right. And you have guys up and down. No, maybe not so much up, because you mentioned a couple of guys that are struggling, but it seems like different guys have found ways to come up big in big spots. Right? Like, I mean, Bader's had it a couple times here. Had the big home run last night. Tyrone Taylor had a huge game last night for that, yesterday afternoon for them.
Right.
And then between, you know, what you're getting from the starters, outside of, like, it feels like just one start for each of the guys hasn't been great, but
which is fine.
The bullpen's been lights out.
The bullpen's been lights out. Diaz is back to being Diaz. I mean, Garrett is, I never heard of him, and he looks like he's one of the better relievers in baseball right now. Right? Ottavino's pitching well. Raley is good. Diekman is good. It's like there's a lot of choices there. And that, for all the negativity that we've heard about, how could you not sign Montgomery and why do you not go out and sign Justin Turner, this is the crafty handiwork of David Stearns as well, the bullpen. And he's done a really nice job with that bullpen.
Right. I guess my only point about that, the Montgomery stuff, and I was thinking about this last night, is maybe there was a thought, the longer we wait to get the number down where we feel like we want to pay it, like, who knows what kind of season he gives you, right? You miss that much time as a starting pitcher. By the time you ramp up, what kind of season are we going to get from you anyway? So why would we pay the money? But I was always of the opinion, if you thought, you know, the team that you put together was good enough to compete for a wild card and the owner would be upset if you didn't make the playoffs, why not do a couple extra things that gave yourselves a better chance to actually do that? Because it felt like there were a couple moves. Like, the Montgomery move, I feel like, would have helped this team. Maybe not waiting as long to sign JD Martinez or spending the money on a Justin Turner would have just increased your chances without affecting whatever David Stearns' plan is.
Maybe. Or maybe David Stearns behind closed doors says, I don't love Jordan Montgomery. Maybe he looks at the guys he has and say, they're the equivalent of Montgomery. Why am I going to go?
No, you can't. Because he's not. Because he's smart. There's no way you could do that. For the amount of money you would have to pay Jordan Montgomery on a one-year deal with what this, you know, with what you had signed, there's no way that you could think that. Now, Jordan Montgomery on a long-term deal, asking for what he was asking, I could 100% believe, I could 1,000% buy into that. But Jordan Montgomery on a one-year deal for, what, $25 million?
So are you of the mindset that Stearns is going to be good yet?
I think Stearns is going to be good.
Yeah.
It's just I'm still having a hard time wrapping my mind around how we're back at, you know, we'll be lucky to make the wild card.
I'm not there yet.
No, I just mean in general. Like, I just think there was all this excitement that Wilpons were gone, Steve Cohen buys the team, and it's, I'm going to win a championship in 3 to 5 years, which he regrets saying, I know that. But you go from 101 wins to doubling down, we bring in Verlander, right? Everyone's excited. Season falls apart. Praise them for pivoting. But now, almost thought that they were joking when they're like, we're going to have a gap year. And everyone's like, no, come on. They just told Scherzer that, so we'd accept the deal. There's no way we're going to have a gap. No, we're having a year where there's no real expectations.
That's what they're doing. Yep, that's right.
I didn't think we'd be back to that, but.
I don't know if you feel like this. There's something, like, the Yankees are really good, and the Yankees are going to win 90 games, and they're going to be a playoff team. There's something bizarrely satisfying. Maybe it's not even bizarre. Something really satisfying about thinking your team's going to be, like, meh or even lousy and out-distancing what the expectations are. Like, there's something very fun about watching that for me.
Well, I think if they play well, I think when you have, you know, lower expectations for your team, it's, I guess, more fulfilling, more satisfying, I guess.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, would I like to be a team that has the expectation to go out and compete for a World Series? Yeah. But, I mean, watching this team battle back the way that they've battled back, the resiliency, I respect and appreciate it.
I do as well.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I played pickleball last night. Game okay. To 11. Could take 6 minutes.
I can go quick, yeah.
Do we want to make this a 3 out of 5?
I don't know if I'm the person to ask that question to.
Well, all right, well, let me ask you the question. How would you feel about it if it was 3 out of 5?
I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I would recommend, I think the better way is instead of 2 out of 3, because 2 out of 3, in theory, could be done in 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, it could be.
If the one team wins 2 games. And I also think you get the better team has a better chance of winning if you're playing best of 5 than best of 3.
All right, well, why don't we ask John what he thinks, and we'll
ask John, and we'll volley it over to Anita and Armani, and we'll see what they think.
All right.
So the Yankees yesterday, down 4-1, heaps of trouble, then the power breaks out, home run from Stanton, home run from Soto, big hit from Judge, they get out of Toronto with a much-needed 6-4 victory.
A big hit by Trevino, let's not forget that.
Yep, big hit from Trevino as well.
Tie it up.
B- big clutch hits from the Yankees.
Big clutch hits. Yeah, it wasn't looking good. I mean, you trail 4-1 going into the eighth. Already had lost three straight. Chance you get swept.
Trail by a run going into the ninth.
Bats not doing anything. Aaron Judge leading up to that, you know, that big moment was, I think, 0 for his last 12. Was not, Volpe didn't have a good series. Soto was really the only one that was, I mean, Soto had a great game yesterday, but.
But by the way, not that you do it, because you wouldn't.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
If I have to hear one more person say that Soto walking is bad or wrong or shows that he's not worth, I'm gonna strangle them. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. The guy gets on base half the time he goes to the plate, and you're going to complain because some of the times he's patient and doesn't swing and stuff out of the strike zone? Do you disagree with that?
No, I fully agree.
I mean, my God.
I try to teach my kids it. Go up there with a plan.
Right.
Don't expand the zone. Know exactly, I mean, the pitches you can do something with and the pitches you can't. Strike two to him was a bad call, too. Strike two to Judge was a bad call.
Yep. Well, I mean, listen, you say that every game there's a lot of bad calls from the home plate umpire.
Right. But I think, I mean, not only the win, because the win was big, but Aaron Judge in that spot, because you know what the conversation would be today.
If they got swept and lost four in a row and Judge had another 0-for, because he started out the game terribly, right?
He
struck out in a big spot early in the game and hit to a double play later in the game. If he had given you another game and you lost and it was four in a row and swept in Toronto, I think you'd start to hear some louder rumblings of what's wrong with Aaron Judge.
Right. Even Glaber in a big spot there early in the game, he struck out. Right. But Aaron Judge is the one that most people aren't, I wouldn't say concerned about, but interested to see how long this slow start lasts.
All right, so question for you. At what point, and we can certainly bring the guys in because they're the Yankee fans, at what point do you look at Aaron Judge and say, now I am concerned? And I'm not saying now should be the point, but May 1, May 15, June 1, not that it'll happen, not that you should have that, but there has to be some line in the sand where you say, if he's not a better version, that the concern level ratchets up a little bit.
I think the reflex, though, initially will be if this is, again, if this is just a big moment and then he continues to struggle now as we move forward, it'll be, is he still dealing with the injury from spring training that he hasn't said anything about? Is that why he's not playing well?
Because it would be, Judge doesn't play well, right? It doesn't happen where he goes out and he's meh. So if he just continues to struggle and continues to go through the motions and not play well, I think you would start to have some, is maybe the excuse built in, right? Is the injury that we don't know a lot about affecting him right now?
Yeah, he's too good to imagine when he's, if he's healthy, for him to continue to struggle the way that he struggled.
I agree.
So I think people will just naturally go to, he's got to be hurt then. Whatever he was dealing with during the spring has to be bothering him still. Or they'll point to the foot that he mentioned he's going to have to manage for forever. Forever now.
Forever. So RJ... Raymond, at what point would you say, you know what, I'm a little worried, a little concerned about Aaron Judge?
I mean, I've been starting to think about it for a little while. I'm not, like, overly concerned, but we're a couple of weeks in already. So
3 weeks in.
Yeah, so it's the slow start's concerning. I'm not to the point of worry or even panic yet. But
right.
It's a little bit concerning.
And I will say that. And the record also kind of squashes the concern also because the record is terrific.
The record is terrific, although I will say heading into that eighth inning yesterday, I was a little like, I'm starting to sweat a little bit because they lost four in a row.
It would have been four.
Yeah. They didn't look too great offensively. I mean, Gleyber Torres is struggling too.
Gleyber did it again yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
With that Olay at second base, where they threw Kiermaier out and it extended to a double.
That's right. So, I mean, there are a couple of other things to be concerned about for sure. But if Aaron Judge is not operating at peak capacity, then the offense is going to have its share of trouble.
Well, because that's one of the givens, right? He's supposed to be one of those guys that you just pencil in. He's healthy. He plays. This is what we can expect. He's not a question mark. Like, he's one that you know, he's on the field, he plays a certain amount of games this season.
Right.
He's going to hit this many home runs, driving this many runs.
Yeah, like, he's going to go 40 and 115, and there's just nothing you could do about it if he plays 155-plus games.
So you take that, and you couple it with what you know Soto's going to give you, and let's see if, you know, Anthony Volpe can take that next step, which he has. By the way, defensive play he made to end the game.
Oh, unbelievable.
Filthy.
Oh, what a play. He is a phenomenal defensive shortstop.
He is. And that was the big thing about him. Was he good enough defensively?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes.
The answer to that is yes.
Now, I don't want to make this negative because I think there's a lot of positive, and that comeback was tremendous. But you've talked about this numerous times. Another error from Anthony Rizzo yesterday.
Another Rizzo, yep.
Another Rizzo.
Yeah, well, I mean, dude, like, you expect him to be a really good defensive first baseman.
Well, he always has been.
Always has been. I mean, is he just, I mean, is he getting old? I mean, is that part of it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Well, listen, last year was the key. He was off to a great start, then had the concussion, which is a freak injury.
Right.
Didn't get diagnosed properly.
What is he, 35, 34?
I know by age he's not old, but I mean, as you start to wear down, I mean, he's 34 years old. He'll be 35 this year. You're not accustomed to seeing it. So I don't understand, like, how do you explain it that all of a sudden he's not really good defensively?
I can't explain it. I don't know.
Unless he's just getting old.
You want to hear from Aaron Judge after that big hit yesterday?
He deserves it.
Yeah, I think so. Here he is, courtesy of the Yes Network, on staying focused despite the cold start to the season.
You just got to flush it. You know, if there's a bad call, you take a bad swing, you know, it's about moving on to the next pitch and just being ready for that next opportunity. You know, all game I've been kind of came up with some spots where I should have got the job done, didn't, and it's just about moving on to the next pitch. And in that situation, you know, all inning, our guys are having great at-bats, and, you know, it's your time to step up.
He's got a really good mindset. Like, he has a baseball player's mindset, and it serves him well.
Well, you have to. The season's too long. And, you know, at some point you're going to go through. I mean, playing 162 games is going to be some stretch of time where you're just not seeing the ball well. And hopefully for the Yankees fans, it's just that it's the start of this season.
Well, but think about this now. Let's flip the script here. Take this as a positive. You're what now? They're 13-6? Is that right? Is that what their record is? They were 12-6 yesterday.
13-6.
13-6. Aaron Judge has been, let's be fair, lousy at the plate. And you're still sitting here 13-6 through 19 games. What happens if Aaron Judge starts hitting the baseball?
Then you're going to have a real problem.
Right. If you're every other team in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. But that's, I think that's how you, how is the Yankees fan you're dealing with it right now?
Well, right, because you are winning games. If the Yankees were 6-13, it wouldn't be such kid gloves right now with Aaron Judge.
No, if Aaron Judge didn't have the kind of track record that Aaron Judge has, and the Yankees weren't winning, of course, especially with how Soto's playing, right? You're supposed to bring Soto in as an addition to what you already know Aaron Judge is going to give you.
Right. Judge is going to go bananas, and then Soto's going to just make it even that much bigger and better for the Yankees, but that's not the case now.
Right. Not to carry Aaron Judge.
Right.
Like, I mean, the idea that there's a world where people actually have sat in front of microphones and said that Juan Soto should expand his zone to try to do damage because we don't trust Aaron Judge behind him?
I can't take that anymore.
Like, that's pretty much what you're saying, is that, you know, if it's not Soto, you don't trust who's behind him. Well, that's Aaron Judge behind him.
Yeah. Only one of the great players in all of baseball. Let's line him up. 1-800-919-3776. Is there any concern about Judge? Is this a slow start in a month where a lot of guys have slow starts? 1-800-919-3776. Also, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. When you stop on by, what do you say?
Hello!
That's exactly what you say. 1-800-919-3776. Yankees win, Mets win, some baseball, DNR, 98.7 ESPN. All right, now with over 350 new and certified pre-owned sedans, SUVs, and vans available for immediate delivery, Mercedes-Benz of White Plains has the right vehicle for you. Special lease and finance offers are available this month. American Express cardholders can take advantage of additional benefits. Start the shopping process online at mbwhiteplains.com or visit the showroom on Bank Street. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since way back in 1968.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.